Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, do you want to guess what episode it is?
No. Yes. 170.
Right. Okay. I didn't know how to answer that.
I broke the first rule of improv.
Saying no.
I said no. Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. The whole episode's pretty much an improv anyway, isn't
it? That's the last time we'll say no for a bit.
Yes.
Yes.
I concur with everything you're saying now and in the future.
Good.
Fantastic.
I know you are. Ah, I ruined it.
Improv. Whew. I've got a quiz tailor-made for you. We're going to go jump back to the 90s for it.
I'll bring the 90s back.
Yeah, bringing it back.
I'm going to get my Tamagotchi and my slap bands.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to the Cranberries and Backstreet Boys.
I hate the Cranberries. Hate them. Almost as much as I hate R.E.M.
Fair enough.
Oh, my God, I hate R.E.M.
No,
sorry,
totally fair
listeners.
Enough. I need to ask a question about the Cranberries, though. Very important Cranberries question.
Yeah.
Was there a particular song, like the catalyst that set you off on your Cranberries hatred path, or was it just like the whole general vibe?
I went on a year six camp and they just dropped that fucking zombie song.
Yep.
And someone's older brother had the album and they snuck it out for bringing it on the trip and they played it in the cabin the whole week and I just hated it.
Yeah. I knew it had to be something like that. Kind of like me and Face Off, the movie.
Face Off.
That was on a whole set of coaches when I was traveling through Europe. I think I watched it about 8 times over the course of 3 months and I went, can everybody, because, you know, you'd get on a new bus and they'd say, we've got these 3 movies. What would this group, you know, of random travellers like?
What were the other choices? Chocolat and Euro Trip or something?
No, sort of close. Billy Madison. And another Adam Sandler movie from that era.
Happy Gilmore?
Yes, Happy Gilmore.
Wouldn't have been Little Nicky.
No.
Surely
but Face Off got the vote all the time.
How?
I don't
know. Got double the star power, surely.
Maybe there were just a hell of a lot of Nicolas Cage fans travelling Europe at
but
that time.
But it wasn't
time.
Even peak Cage.
No, it wasn't. It was a bit afterwards, wasn't it?
Yeah, were we discussing this a few weeks ago about who you'd put in a reboot? I think so, because they're doing it again, or there's a sequel to it or something. Prequel, I don't know.
There was another announcement for something. Oh, that Korean train movie.
Train to Busan.
Yeah. We're doing a reboot and everyone's like, why don't you just watch the original?
Yeah, it already got released internationally. The sequel's come out already. You've missed, like, sorry the pun, but you've missed that train. It's gone.
Yeah.
And Train to Busan is amazing.
No need to make it.
Oh, it's so good. The funny dude from that is going to be in Marvel's Eternals. I don't know if he's going to speak English at all.
I'd be fine if he doesn't.
Yeah.
I think I want to watch that movie again. It's been a couple of years.
Which one?
Busan.
I thought you were going to say Face Off.
Never again. You know, I've never seen it since.
Fair.
Refuse to.
Why would
Absolutely
you?
Absolutely refuse to.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The big sporting gala will be going ahead this weekend with news that the council and the underworld have come to a financial agreement. For a really big yet undisclosed amount, the mysterious folk who have for millennia lived below the Earth's surface will pop our sporting fields back on this side of the lawn. Councillor Hemsworth said it was pretty scary to have to speak to these people because their faces were made of lava, wriggly slug-like things, and flavour savers under their lower lip. He put on a brave face and threw a whole heap of Watchersville's money at the frightening creatures. Lucky for us all who are excited for the wonderful weekend of assorted sporting games and activities, the deal was made and we won't have to see or think about any of that scary stuff for the foreseeable future. For your own safety, though, please stay away from the affected area between 1:45 and 1:57 a.m. Wednesday while the underworld raises it back to sea level. Mrs. Robinson is upset at the decline of prank phone calls she's been getting over the last 15 to 20 years. Since 1967, when Dustin Hoffman's The Graduate came out, she's been enjoying answering the phone to the wonderful song Mrs. Robinson. She blames the youth of today for not keeping up with the classics and has implored the outdoor theatre to screen it on a regular basis. They have yet to comment. Creative writing classes for people who want to end all stories with, And then they woke up and it was all just a dream. Will be held at the library from next month. If you are interested, quickly book yourself in as places are filling up fast. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. Let's crack in to the news. Would you like to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. Edgar Wright. He's going to be doing a remake of The Running Man. Now,
speaking of remakes.
Yes, I don't know if it's going to... By that, I mean he is going to be making his version of Stephen King's The Running Man.
Yep.
The film version is incredibly different. I don't know if they could ever film the ending of the book the same way.
I've never read the book. I know of it, but I've never read it.
It involves a plane and a building, and it's...
Okay.
Real... It's like right in the middle of King's very, very bleak period.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's had a few.
Yeah, but this was like, yep.
Yeah, right.
So it'll be interesting to see what direction that goes. I don't know too much more than that, other than he says he's going to hew closer to the book.
I don't think The Running Man is the equivalent of what we were just talking about in terms of don't touch it, it's already fine. Well, I think it was big enough at the time. I've watched it years and years ago. I'm happy to watch a new version.
Yeah, and look, it was made at the period of reality TV didn't exist. It was game shows. So it plays with the game show format and stuff. I can't remember the name of the film. Oh, my God, but it really bothered me. Do you remember that film? It was shot POV style like Blair Witch Project where people hunted each other for money. And it was a game show that was broadcast across the world. It's a horrible film. There's a shooting in a shopping centre that really stuck with me.
I know this is not it, but I can't get Guns Akimbo out of my head.
No, it's not Guns Akimbo, but it might be Uwe Boll. I think it's an Uwe Boll film.
Right.
That insane German asshole. He did the adaptation of Postal. He's the guy that did video game adaptations that were awful. Maybe it was called Shooter or something like that. Anyway, seeing what they could do with today's reality show conventions, as well as what our technology and surveillance state is like, could make it far more like the original, which is just being broadcast hunted by everyone.
The more you're talking about it, it kind of does allow for a bit of contemporary social commentary to be thrown in there for sure.
They didn't have mobile phones in the book or the film. You've suddenly got a GPS tracker in the contestant's pocket or embedded under their skin or wherever they choose to set this in present or future. I'm down. And it's Edgar Wright. So, and I believe he's getting a lot of the people that did Scott Pilgrim.
Okay.
To come and work on it with him, which makes me wonder if they're really going to start playing with the conventions of reality television.
Obviously, we're not going to get much news about it for a bit. Maybe,
a bit while.
But let's keep it in.
Keep an eye on it. He's got a lot of things in the works.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think that could work. Benedict Cumberbatch he signed on to appear in a limited series called The 39 Steps, which was inspired by a novel from 1915, which Alfred Hitchcock had made into a movie in the 30s, I think, about 35-ish. I reckon people are going to lap this up because it's a conspiracy theory, conspiracy thriller. And you know how much people love conspiracy theories at the moment.
They do.
Like out of control. So it's about a bloke who becomes a pawn in like some far-reaching global conspiracy with New World Order. So it's right there. And he's an executive producer in this one. So it's going to be his baby.
Sure. That sounds pretty cool.
Not sure where it's going yet. They're kind of making it and then – or at least – starting the production and then throwing it out saying, who wants it? Who wants it?
It's funny you're talking about conspiracy gear because I've got a news story about that as well.
Oh, nice.
There's a comic that I believe there's only been 5, maybe 6 issues of it so far. And it's a self-contained story called Department of Truth. And what's his name? James Tynan V or Tynan the Fourth. I can't remember. I don't know what his name. I've only ever read it.
Yeah.
This guy has been writing Batman and a whole bunch of stuff over the last 10 years, writes some really out there stuff. He did one story called Mimetic, which is the idea of a virus that transmits through a phone that wipes out humanity very quickly. He comes up with these really big ideas.
Wow.
This Department of Truth is kind of like an X-Files style department that is their job is when someone comes up with a conspiracy, it generates a kernel of truth, and so these wild outlandish ideas can blossom and become fact. And it's their job to go and nip those things in the bud before they become an actual issue.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of like time travel cop police type thing, but instead it's pruning multiversal strands based off conspiracy and quantum thoughts process getting out of hand.
Oh, I don't mind this.
It's very good. The comic has been great. And each issue has had one major conspiracy from history revealed, what actually happened there, but how that was then, I don't like the phrase, but the Chinese whispered into what is now believed as the conspiracy. And this
amazing.
It's really, really clever. He's reverse engineered all these conspiracy theories of where they might have actually stemmed from.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know too much about that other than the TV and film rights were optioned for it. It's becoming more and more of a thing to option comic book rights very quickly, but it's normally for one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So having both done it once is very interesting.
I wonder if it's a sign of the times. I wonder if it's a sign of 2020 where perhaps movies won't get the money back as easily as a TV show will at the moment.
I think it's part of that. I think it's also this dude, so he's written comics that have been put out in digital formats completely different to what anyone else has tried and this sort of stuff. It wouldn't surprise me if he'd sold it as a multimedia project and the idea being that the film is the central narrative and there are, you know, you can spin it off and have a TV series that's following some agents that go around and nip these buds and stuff like that.
I guess Marvel has and Disney Plus have paved the road for this kind of thing. When you think about WandaVision is sparked from movies,
yep.
which will then in turn have movies sparked from it.
Can I say what show I want
yes.
from Disney more than anything from Marvel is I want an X-Files style show starring Jimmy Woo going around investigating weird objects and stuff, which is kind of what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was.
Mm.
But it would have a very different tone of this is just an everyman.
Yeah.
Rather than he's not a super agent or anything like that. He's just a really amiable guy.
Who can do card tricks
little
now.
A bit of magic here and there.
They're the ones who knock. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Ah, so if you watch The Muppet Show on Disney Plus, you'll see the warning of offensive contact. So there's the five seasons of up there on Disney Plus. I think they put it up there last Friday.
Yeah,
for the weekend, basically. And the warning says this program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of peoples or cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now. Rather than remove this content, we want to acknowledge its harmful impact, learn from it, and spark conversation to create a more inclusive future together. I kind of think this was on the tail of, it wasn't Disney, but do you remember last year whoever had the streaming rights for it, they hid Gone with the Wind for a while, and
yes.
then they did bring it back because people said, yes, back then when the book or movie was set and also the movie itself, things were very different, but it seems wrong to just completely wipe that from.
It's an interesting one. I think Disney did the best they could with that situation. If they leave them out, it's going to ask a lot of questions.
Yep.
They've been struggling for years with people pestering and bothering them to show Song of the South in some way.
Yeah.
I'll give my own recent example. I don't know why, but the other day I was in JB Hi-Fi and I was like, I want to watch Rush Hour. I haven't watched Rush Hour in a while.
I haven't seen it for years.
And then I went and had a bit of a look and you can get it on Blu-ray you can get it on DVD for $5, but I couldn't find a Blu-ray anywhere.
Hmm.
Couldn't find an HD anywhere. And it makes me wonder if they're trying to just quietly let that one go.
Maybe.
Because there's even not having watched it, but even just thinking back, there's a lot of stuff in that film that would not fly today.
Because when was that? Was that late 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just Chris Tucker being racist at Jackie Chan for 2 hours. Yeah. And then they made two more.
Yeah, it was a huge franchise at the time.
Do you sweep them under the rug? Do you acknowledge it? Do you pretend it didn't happen? I think
acknowledging something, it is the way to go.
And look, it's Muppets. So it's not, I've had a look at what a few of the things are and it's not minstrel act.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. You know,
it's not Al Jolson level.
Yeah.
Mammy gear. But, you know, there's John Denver plays a song in front of the Confederate flag at one point, and there's a character referred to as an Indian. rather than a Native American Indian. Mm-hmm. And things like that. So,
yeah,
so
I understand. I just feel that I think acknowledging it is okay because when was it? Late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah.
Maybe it's good that we all know that that's what we, as different societies and cultures, were calling other people then. And that is why it's changed. I don't know.
I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'll be all right.
We'll be all right. Everyone's big.
Follow the Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1.
So South Park, they haven't had a normal season in like 2 years now or something. It's been quite a while. They had their the pandemic special last year. They've announced they've got a special coming March 10th, my birthday.
They must have known.
I know. They've got a vaccination special coming.
Oh, great.
So how's Randy going to fuck it up for everyone this time? That's basically what's happening.
That'll
Park
be fun. Is there any other news? Is there anything out there that you've sort of had your finger on the pulse about where they are going to do a real, like a proper season in the future?
Oh, they'll get back to it because they're under contract to do it. But it's not, there's not enough happening in the world, as weird as that is, for them to be doing their normal style show where they scattershot and attack everything in the news.
Mm.
Everything's kind of too focused on stuff.
Yeah.
The jokes would lose a lot of the luster, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know, hopefully they're off writing the Book of Mormon movie.
Mm.
They'd be doing something else because they clearly want to be done with South Park. They've tried to wrap it up so many times.
How many years old is it now? It'd be over 20, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely over 20.
What are they start 96, 97 maybe?
Okay.
The movie was 2000, maybe even 99.
Yes, the movie was, without looking at IMDb, I'm sure that it was before 2000 that the movie came out.
I had the South Park Christmas album when I was on exchange in Germany when I was like 15, 16.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
there we go.
They've been at it for a very long time and they like to do other things when they can. They'll never do another puppet movie, which is a shame because Team America is fantastic.
1999 the movie came out. Yeah, I love that movie. I am often finding myself singing bits and pieces from it.
It just holds up.
Yeah. It's so awkward in some bits, in the funniest possible way. You know when they – what I love is when they let jokes go just that little bit too long,
yeah,
where you laugh, you stop, and then you laugh that it's still going.
We made my mom sit down and watch it once.
Oh, how'd that go?
She laughed her head off through afterwards and then ever since has categorically denied enjoying that film. It was awful, awful film. I don't know why you showed me that.
Yeah, Mum.
Puppets
yeah,
vomiting, Mum. That's why.
Look, we're really on a 90s kick this week for some reason, unintentionally and both intentionally. But back in the mid to late 90s, Courtney Love was doing a fair bit of the acting stuff. And to be fair, she was having a bit of success because she was nominated for a Golden Globe for
Larry Flint.
Yep, that's right. I don't think she won, though. I don't think so. Anyway, she was doing stuff. But the past week or she has been posting about, you know, kind of looking back on her days acting on Instagram. And she said she loved acting but stopped being capable of acting because of a bunch of Me Too situations that happened to her. So she just was like, I don't like this part of acting. I'm bouncing.
Of people doing things to
her.
Yeah,
not her Me Too-ing.
Sure.
But being Me Too'd. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Having inappropriate advances or whatever from people within the music, the movie industry. And it made me think there must be so many people from movie, females, but males as well, like it happened to everyone. Well, not everyone, but you know what I mean. From around that era or even the last 20, 50 years where people were in movies for a while and then they just disappeared and we kind of go, huh, whatever happened to them?
Sure.
And it's potentially they just went, I really hate this. I don't like acting enough to keep up with all of this disgusting stuff. And people just bounced. That's a shame because they may have gone on to something amazing, but we'll never know. But I just thought it was interesting that Courtney Love has only just now sort of, and not, it wasn't even sort of a, this is what I'm here to talk about. It was like, I just want to look back on my acting days. In case you're wondering, I'm not doing it anymore and this is why.
I think her track record would speak it. It would be a bad idea to mess with her romantically or sexually. It's probably a dangerous game.
She's got a lot of money too. She doesn't need to do the acting.
The only Dharma staff with the initiative to plug the hole in the island. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I've got two more. They're very brief in Marvel stories, and then I've got three trailers.
Brilliant.
The two Marvel stories, very briefly, the rights for Punisher and Jessica Jones have gone back to Marvel Studios as of this week. That means that all the Netflix properties are now back. That two-year window is gone. That means Daredevil can be in Spider-Man if they want.
So can I ask, Jessica Jones, for example,
yes,
where can I watch Jessica Jones now?
So from what I understand, you can watch the shows on Netflix.
Yeah, that's maybe what I thought.
You can purchase the shows on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe when the new stuff launches on Disney Plus, not straight away, but at some point in the future, they may pay for some licensing rights to bring it across.
That was what I was thinking.
But Netflix can't promote the show anymore.
Yep.
They can still have it in their carousel and sort of stuff.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's not financially worth it for them to do that.
Also, it's a few years old now. They probably wouldn't push it.
Yep.
Yep.
And then Danny Elfman. Mm-hmm. Fantastic composer that he's just done so much stuff.
Oh, you've heard him.
And he was in Oingo Boingo, Weird Science. he is scoring Doctor Strange 2.
Awesome.
Now you might go, why is that a big deal? Whatever. Hasn't he done a lot of superhero movies? Well, he has done, but he hasn't done that many recently. But the ones that he's best known for are Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. And this film, of course, is being directed by Sam Raimi, who also did those Spider-Man films. And it's about the multiverse of madness, and it's setting things up for Spider-Man 3 where there's rumors of other Spider-Men being involved. So wouldn't it make sense for the guy who wrote the original Spider-Man themes to come and do all sorts of remixes and bonkers bizarre gear? Stay tuned on this. Mm. I don't know exactly what this all means, but it's got a lot of potential.
Look, just immediately off the back, I think of John Williams and his obviously Star Wars stuff. And you think about when Force Awakens came out and, you know, the soundtrack was there and there were still all the Star Wars favorite bits and pieces, themes in there, but he also created new themes for that movie and the characters, but it all felt the same.
Yep.
You know, it all had that same feel, that Star Wars feel, and I think that is what's going to happen with this.
The Spider-Man, the older films, they have such twinkly string work. I don't know what that noise I made was, but they opened.
Mr. Elfman heard it.
Thank you.
And he's inspired.
They always open very quietly and reflectively. And I appreciate that because so many other superhero movies, it's all about the bombast and stuff, whereas this one's always a lot more reserved. Bring it on. Get the gang back together and make Doctor Strange 2 great
again. Just continue it to be great. Zack Snyder, we're getting another zombie movie from him in May. Army of the Dead, May 21st, I think it's coming out, or the 21st of May, I should say. So this movie, as we know,
we've talked about this a few times.
It was
Army of the Dead.
Honestly, it was announced in 2008.
Yeah, and I remember seeing parts of that script, and I'm glad they didn't make it.
Yeah.
Have we talked about why?
No, I don't know if we did on the podcast.
Oh, there was a whole thing of zombie rape and then hybrids.
It's next level zombie grossness.
It's totally Zack Snyder.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm kind of excited about this. So it's a group of mercenaries, of course, as they attempt to heist a Las Vegas casino during a zombie outbreak. You've got your boy Dave Bastida.
Tig Notaro's in there.
Yes, that's right. I think she's on the poster, right?
Yes, she's replacing Chris D'Elia, who got he'd already filmed all his bits, but he was accused of impropriety, so they reshot his scenes, and Tig Notaro having a very deadpan woman in the middle of all that's going to be great.
I actually think it's going to work really well. Yeah. John Dory from Fear the Walking Dead's in there.
Garrett Dillahunt.
That's it. He's going to be there as well. And if they don't do a quick little homage to the fact that he's in two separate zombie universes, I'm going to be annoyed.
I think this film is going to be a good bit of fun. I think the fact that it's coming out on Netflix is going to make it a lot more low-key than going to pay for it at the movies.
Absolutely.
It would not be a wise idea to bring out a zombie film right now in the
expectations.
Middle of a
pandemic. Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, no, you put it straight on Netflix and expectations are there.
Yeah.
We know what we're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, be fun. Today, as of recording, Harry Shearer said that he's not going to voice the Doctor in The Simpsons, Dr. Hibbert. Anymore. They're going to get an African-American actor, Kevin Michael Richardson, to take over. Now this
I interviewed him once.
Really?
Yeah.
He's done like 70 episodes of The Simpsons, so he's not a person who's never done stuff before.
He's very famous in the voiceover world.
Well, if I can just throw off some names, Family Guy, American Dad, F for Family, like all that stuff.
Batman, and I think he used to even do some of the dubbing for Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah. Or, yeah, right.
He's been around a long time.
So he's more than capable. In fact, I would say he's almost that they should just get him to do more characters in The Simpsons. One's not enough.
Well, he also does on-screen acting.
I didn't recognize his face.
Sure. There's less of it.
Mm.
Not of his face. I mean, less of the voice.
Yeah, he's only got a really small face. Mm. No. Yeah, so that's the Simpsons are slowly sort of making sure that roles go to the people of that race.
Do you think anyone that listens to our show, which is predominantly focused on watching new things,
yep,
has watched The Simpsons in the last 20 years?
No.
No.
I would only say yes in that when they first got Disney Plus, they would have rewatched some of their favourite Simpsons episodes.
I say I even sit down and I start rewatching something. If I'm going to rewatch, I might rewatch the movie. Because then it's
fresher. I don't know. Like for me, I feel like growing up, The Simpsons was on, like the same episodes were on for years.
Sure. The good ones.
Yeah. And I watched them so many. Yeah. All of that stuff. I've seen them all so many times. I don't need to watch them anymore.
Fair.
Trailer time?
Yes. Trailers. I've got three for you. One, get over here. Mortal Kombat. It looked awesome. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw it.
Very gory.
Yeah.
It appears that the techno theme comes in as a string version, which I am here for. There's got to be a great drop with that.
Our boy Josh Lawson.
He is in there.
We were talking about him last week.
We were doing a very, very thick Australian accent. You're fucked. It could be all that sort of stuff.
My highlight was the blood that turned into ice, then into daggers.
Sub-Zero is going to be an awful person in this, looks like, as he should be. He's far from redemption at this point in whatever story they're telling, I think. Scorpion's in there. Yeah, Jax, Sonya. We've got a new main character, Cole, which probably means he'll die.
A wonderfully gory death in the world of Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
That's a necessity.
Yep. So I'm very here for that.
I saw a lot of people on Twitter very hyped about the trailer.
They made it in bloody Adelaide.
I was too. Like,
I think they filmed some of it like during pandemic last year.
I forgot about that. Good on you, South Australians.
So I reckon it's going to help that film a great deal because there's a lot less competition. Everyone's very excited for it. You know, all the big blockbusters that would normally smush it down and take its attention aren't there.
Yep.
It's got a good,
chances are good.
Chances are good. Mark March 26th, which I imagine is going to be March 27th for us. But
right,
we've got two big things coming that day. On Netflix, Eric Andre's movie Bad Trip finally drops, which has been like floating around for about a year and a half.
Have you blocked your calendar?
Well, for that and the other thing dropping that day.
Yeah, what?
Which is over on Amazon. Invincible is beginning, which is the new show from Robert Kirkman, the guy who created Walking Dead. This is another comic series that he did, Invincible. And
you've told me about this.
Maybe. It's about the son of a guy that's meant to be Superman.
That's right.
His powers are just starting to develop. Don't go and find out anymore. It's going to have a huge twist. It's a one-hour animated series. So instead of 11 or 22 minute, which is your standard animation, this is done like a proper drama. Huge names involved: J.K. Simmons, Steven Yeun is he is Invincible. The trailer that's out at the moment, the first minute makes it look like your standard sort of kids cartoon, and then the heads start bursting, and the blood starts pouring and flying, and the limbs start disintegrating, and you realize that that's not what this show is at
Don't watch it with the kids. No,
it's hard so, R-rated.
So can we watch a trailer without getting spoilt for?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't give it away.
Cool.
It alludes, but it doesn't in such a way that there's four or five narrative threads that you could potentially pull from it and awesome. Go, okay, that's where it's
okay,
go.
It's safe to watch.
But yeah, I imagine by the end of the first episode, the thing will be there and then you'll go, oh, oh, I see what this show is. I'm way more into the idea of this now.
Stephen Ewan just does so much stuff now.
And it's all good. Yeah, makes great choices.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Tom, I watched a documentary that was, it was going down one road and I was like, I'm not sure I like these people that much. And then it did this swerve that I'm not going to explain because it's amazing when it happens, where you just go, wow, this is a lot. I'm still not sure I'm on board with these people. It was from New Zealand. I saw it on Foxtel, actually, for streaming. There's no I in threesome. It's a documentary. It's about a couple who have just gotten engaged and they're like, you know what we're going to do before we get married? Let's just have an open relationship, because that always goes well, doesn't it? And it's them starting to meet people and, you know, talk to each other about all of that. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch all of this. It's just over an hour long. So I thought, all right, I'll hang in there. And then I hung in there just long enough for this thing to happen. And I was just like, whoa, okay. If I hadn't had like a really quiet evening where I had nothing else to do, I don't think I would have looked at it, because there's nothing I would usually look at. I'm like, you know, I'm not big on documentaries.
I know. This does not sound like your usual K-pop.
No, but I saw it was from New Zealand and I was like, oh, yeah, support the Kiwis. Let's watch this. And yeah, if it wasn't for the thing that happened, I would have not even mentioned it on here. Right. Yeah.
Odd twists. Stay tuned.
Exactly. What did you watch this week?
Look, I spent some time with some sitcoms. There's some new sitcoms that I checked out. The first one I'll talk about, I've talked about the trailers and stuff like that, was the Young Rock.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
I really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
And like, I was predisposed, I was always going to love it.
Yeah, but sometimes if you're too hyped for something, it can be, you can be let down.
Yep.
Yeah.
It just feels exactly like Fresh Off the Boat, or it's The Rock doing The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Or The Goblet or anything. But yeah, it's him sitting down in 2032 with actor turned journalist Randall Park.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
he's got to be in everything.
Yep. But he's interviewing The Rock as The Rock runs to be president.
Have they aged The Rock?
Not overly.
Okay.
He maybe looks a bit tauter.
Yep.
But not particular. It's 10, 12 years from now.
Yeah, it's not that far.
No, so it's not that far out. And it's flashing back to him as, I want to say, I think 9 or 10 year old, 15, and then 20.
Mm-hmm.
And different actors in different periods. The first one is learning life lessons from wrestlers. The second one has been a bit of a scumbag dropout at school, getting into petty crime and stuff.
Yeah, right.
And the third one is learning to shape up when he's trying to get into the NFL and not doing particularly well.
Is all of this super autobiographical, or is there a bit of license to be storytelling creative?
If Fresh Off the Boat is anything to go by, the first 3 or 4 episodes are going to be pretty by the book.
Yep.
And then by the end of season one, they've run out of storylines to cover 21 episodes a season.
Yeah.
And they'll start to embellish and fill in gaps.
Excellent.
But at the same time, it's The Rock. He's a very big star and he has a lot of control over his image. So I imagine he would shut the show down before he lets it get to, you know, fabricating lies about his past.
Yeah. I imagine he's very involved in the creative.
Well, look, that's what happened on Fresh Off the Boat.
Right.
The author that it was originally about, he left and disavowed the show after a couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's not about my life. He's a chef. He doesn't have any sway in Hollywood. Then we're going to listen to him. Whereas The Rock, yeah. The Rock says, this show with my name on there, made by my production company. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, shut it down.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad it was good.
Yeah, the guy playing Andre the Giant was really good fun. Ditto the Iron Sheik this sort of stuff. And yeah, it was a lot about working the angle and stuff that if you've watched wrestling before, this stuff is going to mean things to you. And if not, it's just cool. You know, it's everyone hates Chris.
Yeah.
Any sitcom you've ever seen where someone's telling stories in the past.
Yeah. How I Met Your Mother kind of stuff as well, yeah, to a certain extent. What other sitcoms?
The other one that I watched was Mr. Mayor, which I've actually watched a few episodes so far, but I wanted to bank it up and talk about it as a whole, and I'm really glad I did. This is a Ted Danson stars. He's the newly elected mayor of LA. Mm-hmm. The show is executive produced by Tina Fey. Mm. It was originally conceived to be a 30 Rock spinoff for Jack.
Oh, interesting.
And it was going to be Alec Baldwin becoming mayor of New York City. Mm. And then partway into production, not filming and things like that, but like when they were still fleshing out the story and everything, he said, I don't want to do that. So they retooled it and built it around Ted Danson.
Ted Danson is amazing.
He's
so
pretty good.
Yeah.
So he's a former advertising billionaire mogul who steps in to try and help out LA when the city's on fire.
Is he a good guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Does he know what he's doing? He does not. It's Parks and Recreation, but in a little more 30 Rock style.
I think I'm on board with this one.
The first three episodes are not reflective particularly of the dynamic that develops in the show. And it's the same with Parks and Recreation. Those first six episodes aren't great. They're fine,
yeah,
but they're not really what the show becomes. And it feels like that's happening at the moment, at where episode eight and, you know, Bobby Moynihan character from SNL, his character is just getting more and more bizarre, very, very out there. Holly Hunter.
Mm.
I don't like Holly Hunter normally, but she's great in this.
Is her voice working in the role?
Yep.
Because she's got a very distinctive
voice.
She's
using that voice to be the... Okay. She's the eco-warrior opposite of Ted Danson.
Oh, see, if you were to have said to me, just have a guess who her character is, and I would have guessed... Kitty Flanagan's Rhonda in Utopia, that kind of character, but it doesn't sound right.
No, so she's an eco-warrior activist who's been trying to get on, who's been involved in government for 40 years or something like that, and she's been trying to go for the mayor's role unsuccessfully for many years.
Okay.
And in order to stop her undermining him, he gives her the role of vice or deputy mayor or whatever.
Yeah,
vice mayor.
It's a good way to do it.
I enjoyed the show. She is the opposite of Ron Funches, not Ron Funches.
Ron Swanson.
Yeah. So where's Ron Swanson? Worked for the government but hated it.
Yeah.
She is Ron's attitude and like sternness mixed with Leslie's enthusiasm for government. So it's a good show. I quite enjoyed it. Some good chuckles.
I want to watch that.
Yeah.
You can never have enough hats, gloves, shoes, and we are the Watchers, sweetie darling.
I rewatched... And I don't actually think, when I think about, I've not seen this movie since it came out. I watched Two Hands.
Oh, bloody Two Hands.
Yeah.
With Heath.
Yep, Heath.
Brown.
Spoke about Rose Byrne last week. Speaking about it again.
Oh, can we please?
There are a lot of people in that movie where you go, of course they're in it. Of course they're in it. It's the 90s Australian movie. Of course this person's in it. But there are some faces where you go, that's odd. I've never seen them before or since this movie. But Rose Byrne and Heath Ledger were, you could tell they were standouts.
Sure.
You could tell they were going somewhere. Mm. Yeah. The story was as crazy as I remember it. Probably the movie felt shorter than I recall. But I might have been getting it a bit mixed up with Trainspotting at the same time. It was, there were moments of violence, but in my memory, I was like, oh, it's violent the whole way through.
No, there's only sporadic bits.
Yeah.
I get it, not confused, but it's mashed in my head a little bit with Getting Square.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that kind of, yes, absolutely. That
Australian scumbag. You're like, wait,
come on, where
Brian
is he?
Brown.
Where is he? Bring the mullet out.
Yep.
Yeah, it holds up. It really does.
Nice, good.
Because that was on the tail end of the Australian Aussie genre movie.
Yeah, your Muriels.
That's
your
exactly
Strictly's,
right. Yeah,
your Cosy.
I forgot about that one.
Oh, don't forget about Tony Collette.
Tony Collette. I will not be forgetting about that one. I think it was on Amazon, but you can find it anywhere. Stop asking me where you can find it. Just Google it yourself.
It's out there.
Far out, Brussels sprout.
The team's still tuning in for The Truman Show. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
WandaVision time.
Oh, we're getting to the short and pointy end of things now, mm-hmm. especially now that we know who was behind it all. Now, should we give some sort of spoiler warning? Because there was a pretty firm declaration of a line drawn in the sand.
And I definitely feel that if we're going to talk about a WandaVision episode, we have to do the spoiler. Yep. So if you haven't watched the latest WandaVision episode, I can't remember what episode number it is. Let's say 7.
I believe it's 7. It was called Breaking the Fourth Wall.
We will be talking about the spoilers in it. So if you haven't watched it yet, stop this and get back to it, to us, after you watch it.
Yeah, when appropriate.
What was that new sitcom that they were advertising in the end? What was it called? It was Agnes All Along.
Was Agnes All Along, but was it?
No, I don't think so. I don't. Do you?
Okay. This is my lost brain working from coming up with crazy conspiracies back in the day.
That's what we're here for.
This is not what it's going to be. But if I was in charge of the storyline, Wanda would have created Agatha. Agnes is a person, but Wanda needs a bad guy, needs a villain in her story. And so she's forcing this storyline upon Agnes. She's also created Monica, not really, but Monica's come through into the hex and she's created Photon or whatever name she ends up choosing so that there's a ideal hero to battle the villain.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to be that, but just in terms of if we've been watching a show that's all about playing with narrative expectation and everything's an illusion created by a woman who can control reality,
yep,
then surely she'd create a very vaudevillian villain who can step forward and just, wow, I was behind all of it.
It was me all along.
It wasn't you.
The little dog too.
It wasn't you struggling to deal with your grief and trauma at all.
We still know that Wanda's completely confused.
Yes.
About everything. She knows that she can control it, but she's not sure why she's controlling it. She wants it a secret because she doesn't understand it herself. And that's still the case finishing episode 7.
Yes. Look, Agnes is behind it. Well, Agatha is behind it and I'm just being difficult. there may be further stuff on there, but it kind of, that nicks us in the head, you know, knocks out some of the multiverse stuff. It means that we're probably not looking at X-Men Universe Pietro.
I think I've been sus on him since the second we saw him.
But it was like, is he going to be Mephisto or is he going to be a bad guy?
Whereabouts is he?
And instead it feels more like, all these characters have been pulled from sitcoms. Maybe Agatha has watched the X-Men movies and pulled him in from there.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. What about Darcy? What do you think her character's getting set up to do in the next few episodes? Couple of episodes.
Look. I think it's got to be something to do with Vision because she's only really operating with Vision when she's being exposition for him.
Yep.
I don't know where she goes.
I feel that she's in WandaVision she's in the world of WandaVision so that she's not a blind character to what's happening. Because she was the person.
Yeah, we need our surrogate.
Yeah, exactly. Inside. And maybe she is there to, look, I don't know, to comfort Vision, but to, she's going to say something that will spark him to go, okay, that's what I'll do.
I don't think we're going to get any more of the sitcom stuff, and I think that's why she's in there, is because we're now watching the show that she was watching the show.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So the show that we're watching is now Darcy's show inside all.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because we've already done the Modern Family TV sitcom sort of thing, and that's kind of where we're up to in, you know, in modern day comedy, TV comedy. So can't go much further than this. So I think it's definitely going to be more Marvel-y. Did I make up a word?
Maybe there'll be like animated stuff. Mm. Maybe instead it just becomes like channel flicking.
Trying to get the answers and suddenly Wanda flicks the channel.
Reality is rewriting itself around her and stuff like that. If she starts losing control of that, maybe it starts skipping because it's definitely skipped a bit of horror genre.
Yeah, definitely.
That bit at the end.
Bit Stranger Things.
When they were walking through the catacomb, when she's walking through there, Shay turned to me and was like, I don't like this.
Yep, that's fair.
This just got scary.
Yep.
I'm like, didn't it say this is scary?
Not for long, Shay. It's okay.
No, I know,
it's
but okay. Like, but yeah. Horror is not something that the Marvel films have done particularly much of. They've done a jump scare here or there, but they've not done a creeping dread sort of thing too much.
Yeah.
So it was an odd thing to have creep, like, just come in at the end there.
This is such a great show to predict because you can't predict.
And this is why they can't put out their episodes in a block.
You lose
all chance to talk.
You and I know we're very, very happy.
We're weekly watchers.
Yeah, this is how we like to do things. There's a reason why this podcast comes out weekly because it gives us a week to analyze and think about it. And it stops that awkward, what episode are you up to?
Yep.
What episode are you up to?
I cheered so hard when Monica was running through the hex. And her body split into the different
timelines?
Were they iterations?
Yep.
Were they echoes? What was
I felt
that?
It was iteration. That's kind of what I got. But you're right. It was not.
That's the sort of imagery we've seen when Flash run, and Flash is from DC Universe, but when Flash has run fast enough to skip through the multiverse, that's how he appears, because it's almost like he's supplanting the presence of himself in a different universe. And that's kind of what it felt like there. Was she cycling through other versions of herself? Is she now a different version of the Monica than we knew that exists within her? Does she have powers? It looked like she's got some powers.
Looks like she's got some.
But are they just something that Wanda has accidentally given her that only exists within the dome?
Oh, within the dome. Interesting. See, I just assumed that, I mean, apart from the fact that you've got the good guy, I also assume that we're being introduced to her to set her up for her own show or her own movie or appearances in other Marvel-y things with some powers. And potentially a series might be nice for her to learn what her powers are. She's dealing with grief as well.
Yeah, and I could see her having Darcy and Wu for a spin-off show.
That'd be great. Yeah. Those three work so well together.
I'm also very interested to see what ends up happening with the twins.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Were they in it much this episode? I don't think
they went.
They're little bits and pieces. They were playing a video game.
Agnes showed up and said, let me take the boys have a day. They went over to the house. Billy was sat next to her and said, I like it here. It's quiet. I really like you. There's no noise inside, which is a real... Does she not have a soul? Is she not real? Exactly. What's the deal there? We didn't see them when Wanda came to her house later.
Mm-mm.
Maybe they've been turned into something. Maybe.
Maybe the fact that
they're just fucking chaos magic anyway. They're not real.
We already know. Yeah.
That's the thing that's going to make or break this show at the end of justify a way to keep the twins around, because they could be very important to a franchise further down the line.
Sure.
And this would be, you know, these TV series are a very clever way to set up the Young Avengers.
And we've seen twins before in Wanda and watching that be the legacy for these twins would be interesting to unpack as well. Interesting. Good watching.
Good watching.
Thank you, Wanda. Are you ready for a quiz?
Always.
It's called Cult Movies from the 90s.
All right, cult movies from the 90s.
I googled the phrase cult classics from the 90s, and these are the synopsises for some films. You have to say what the film is. I've changed a little bit to give stuff away, but I'd be very surprised if you don't get 6 out of 6 for this.
All right, I've gotten comfortable in my seat.
You really have. You look...
Thank you.
It's like thinking comfy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. A depressed man suffering from insomnia meets a strange soap salesman. And
Fight Club.
Yes. Nice work.
Is this what you want? Chime in when I know.
Yeah, chime in. I left the name Maria in there. Just that was the only character's name I left in there.
Sure.
Another one. The main character is called in to cover a shift at his New Jersey convenience store.
Clerks.
Yes.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I'm not even supposed to be. The second sentence is two blokes stand out the front.
Nice.
I thought you don't need much in there. A well-liked high school government teacher.
Election?
This is brilliant.
This is a good quiz. I like this.
Yeah, this is good. Found video footage tells the tale
Blair Witch?
Of- yes.
Oh, we're going quick here. Sorry.
I didn't change any of that.
No?
No. Three film students who've travelled to a small town to collect documentary footage about the blank blank, because that was the, it's the only thing I changed. Another super easy one. Heroin addict main character, stumbles through bad ideas and sobriety attempts with his unreliable friends.
Oh, Requiem.
No, not as depressing.
Oh, Trainspotting.
Yeah.
You're right, it's not as depressing.
It's not as depressing. I watched Requiem once and I was I'm glad I watched it, but I can never watch this again.
Requiem has one of the best soundtracks.
Yeah, it is a nice. Yeah, it's really nice, isn't it?
And oh my God, sorry, I'm really depressed thinking about that.
But Trainspotting had an amazing soundtrack as well.
It did. It did. This is very true.
Big stuff. Here's another one. If you don't get it within the first half a sentence, I'm going to be very shocked. In this movie, we meet two hitmen with a penchant for philosophical, yes, discussions. Yeah, and then I just left in all the names.
Very good. Next time we do one like this, I want you to turn the difficulty up.
More?
10.
Okay.
If you want to go cult movies, let's go cult.
Because I was like, I haven't seen this movie. Tom may have. I wouldn't be able to give him clues, but maybe I don't need to.
But maybe let's see if we can stump me.
Should we go 2000 movies? So from 2000 to 2010, see how we go with that.
And yeah, and you can go as obscure as you like.
Yeah, all right.
Because I know that stuff.
Yeah. All right.
But it has to have played in a cinema.
I hope you're paying attention to this, because I might need your help. If you can send in some ideas to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to accept Lake Placid 4. Do you know what I mean?
Fair.
It has to have played in a cinema.
Okay.
Not a DTV.
So I need either just a movie title or I need a movie title and a synopsis.
Mm.
And then we'll see if we can stomp.
Come on, bring it.
As many as possible. Like if we can rapid fire these, we could probably get through 10 really quickly.
I'm ready. I'm game.
Yeah, you're looking so confident the way you're sitting right now.
I feel particularly cocky.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to do it. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Somebody stop me.